Monday, November 14, 2022, Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting at 3:00 p.m.
Call the County Board of Commissioners meeting to order. Stand for the pledge, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call the roll, please. Joan?
Robert Giese?
Here.
Scott Love?
Yes.
Janet Gill?
Here.
Larry Albanicious? Troy Lonsby?
Here.
I make a motion to excuse Larry. He called me earlier today, not feeling well.
I'll second it.
All right. Motioned and seconded. Joan? Call the roll, please.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry is not here. Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes. Okay, a current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the County Board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. The first item on the agenda is the public comment. The Board of Commissioners will hear comments about any item not on the agenda, and the chair has the discretion to limit the amount of time. Anyone for anything not on the agenda?
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. I just needed to clarify something about the reports that we're not able to get when there's a federal holiday. It was brought to my attention that somebody had asked a business owner if their credit card payments were processed. They are processed through certified payments, ours here, but we are not able to get those reports on federal holidays. So if we work a day when there is a federal holiday, we cannot get that report. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Trudy?
Hello, I'm Trudy Jepson from Hubbard. I just haven't been here in a while. Wanted an update on M Avenue. Wanted to express again my personal thoughts on how important that project is. I don't have a solution, but I know that we need one. And so I was looking for a possible update.
Okay. I can tell you, Trudy, what I have been, some of the discussions I've had talking to the Village of Hubbard folks there. I've talked to a couple of builders that are interested in that area out there as well. I've talked to the NRD about the rural water going in out there to the lake. So I think it was it's been a little bit on hold because of the election. And now with new board, and we haven't had, the board is not settled in Hubbard, correct, Joan?
Correct.
The new board is not settled in Hubbard. I think the M Avenue, and I'm just speaking for myself, is priority number one in my mind. I think it's a perfect, and as you know, location for potential growth out there for not only Hubbard but the county in general. So those conversations are still ongoing. I think what's going to happen is at some point here, whether it's maybe before or not until the new board in Hubbard is sworn in January, I will go visit with those folks again and kind of tell them what's going on. But as I said, I think there's a lot of good things happening to that area. Rural water is really vital. There is some interest in builders building off of M Avenue if there's a road that's paved to the lake.
That's good to know. I didn't know that.
Right. But it's going to take really a commitment from Hubbard to get that, I think, to get that done.
And there's, from what I've understood, maybe I'm reading between the lines, but it looks like it's going to have to be a lot of give and take between the county and the village on if they do take it over, you're still going to be there and not abandon them, dump it in their lap, so to speak. So there's going to have to be some communication between the two boards.
Yeah,
in
exactly. And I think, as I said, all these things, there's a lot of good things that we can, as a board and a county, can go say, you know, if this happens, this can happen, and this can happen. And in my opinion, that area can just flourish with homes and whatever else that could bring.
So you do not want... I'm sorry, Janet, what were you going to say?
No, I was going to say, I'm not thinking that, and I don't mean to pry in here, but I think that I would have to say a safe bet probably like around February time. You know, we're in the middle of November, so by the time we get our new board, they get their new board, and then we can start digging and see where it goes. Is that fair?
Yeah, and one of the things also to watch is the NRD is putting out for bid... if they haven't done already, that rural water project that's going to go in out there. So if you see that's out there and those bids are accepted or not accepted, I think that's a key piece to that, the rural water. I'm thinking that because I've talked to them, and I think they would know in general what that cost is going to be. So unless it's just a crazy number that they're not going to, that they can't do, I would think that I mean, it's a pretty safe bet probably that rural water
that would definitely
is going to go in.
So are you giving up on or not pursuing the idea of going through the state to change it so we can just lower the speed limit without having to do any of this other?
Are you leaving that option open or not? Well, the door isn't closed, but that option is still costly, and the chances of that being done are not good.
But does it cost anything to try? Does it hurt if you try and get denied?
No.
Okay.
So maybe that's part of
our... I'd like to open that door just a few more inches.
Sure. I understand. So that can be part of our ongoing...
I'd rather have two avenues than just say, we're going to go down this road and skip that one. Mm-hmm. If you have enough people, go down both roads and see who gets there first.
Yeah. So anyway, that's kind of in general, what's going on there, Trudy. I mean, I don't have a lot of definitive, this is what we're doing and this is what we're waiting for. But I think, as I said, we just kind of waited for the election to settle. There's going to be one or two new board members on the village board in Hubbard, and we'll see what happens. I mean, it's still on the, in my mind, it's on the front burner.
Okay.
So I'm not letting it die.
Okay.
Until,
I wanted that reassurance.
Right.
Okay.
So, all right,
thank you.
Sure.
Thanks, Steve. Thank you.
Anyone else, any item not on the agenda wishing to address the board? Seeing none, all right. We will then move on to item two, which is the consent agenda, which consists of the approval of previous meeting minutes from October 31st, approval of payroll claims. Troy and myself went over those this afternoon. There was one pay increase in there for a member of the health department that took over a new role of grant, in charge of grants and writing and all things grants in that office. And so that was just one thing I wanted to note. There were no AP claims. And also the Veterans Office quarterly report from July to September. Questions on those? Any from the board? If not,
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda items.
Okay.
And I'll second.
Motioned by Scott, seconded by Troy to approve the consent agenda. Call the roll, please. Joan?
Janet?
Yes.
Larry? Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Okay, item three, new business and resolutions. The item A is a public hearing for the purpose of giving citizens the opportunity to offer support, opposition, or make neutral comment regarding the changing of the name of the Planning Commission from Dakota County Joint Planning Commission to Dakota County Planning and Zoning Committee.
What time is it?
Pardon? It is 3:10. It is 3:10. So, at this time, I would ask for, I will open the hearing and ask for proponents on the proposed changes. Seeing none, I will then ask for opponents on the proposed changes to the committee. Seeing none. Neutral testimony on any of the proposed changes. Seeing none?
I would.
Go ahead.
I think we need to make comment that the county attorney's office has weighed in on this name change, and they can they agree that we could remove the name joint since all of the villages and cities now have their own zoning board, but that the word commission should not be changed to committee. It takes away their right to enforce the regulations as a committee versus a commission. So her recommendation was to change it to Dakota County Planning and Zoning, or
Planning Commission?
Commission.
Right, all the regs all say commission, correct?
Yes.
Kim, so
yes.
That's why.
Statutes, yeah.
Statute, thank you. That's how it'll read. Then the county, Dakota County Planning Commission.
So that last word in IA should be commission then. Change to Dakota County Planning and Zoning. Mine says committee.
It is. That is their request.
But we need
county attorney is recommending that you don't do
okay.
That.
Do commission instead. Okay.
So it'll read Dakota County Planning Commission.
Commission.
Right.
Okay.
On number C when we get there.
Right. Right.
Should it be Planning and Zoning Commission? Just taking the joint word out?
Who said that?
I did.
Oh, okay.
Jolene.
Name change from Dakota County Joint Planning Commission to Dakota County Planning and Zoning Committee. So you want Dakota County Planning and Zoning Commission? How did I write that resolution?
This one is...
It looks like... That is 24.
Do state statutes
see that in red?
Does not adopt 24. So change the word commission to committee.
But really, it should be state, leave it commission, is what you're saying, instead of changing it.
Just no joint.
Right.
Just the joint word is not there anymore. So Dakota County Planning and Zoning Commission. Okay.
So the resolution is wrong as well then.
We need to amend that.
Yeah, we'll amend that.
Well, okay, your bylaws. Okay. Your bylaws all state Joint Planning Commission, but you want to add the word zoning and take out joint.
Planning and zoning.
The board does not have to do that. I don't know what. Do you want
Should we look up? I think the statutes all refer to.
So on one.
I don't think you can make new changes without a hearing. Did I word it wrong on the agenda? Or are you saying that?
Yeah, the agenda had it wrong.
No, I had, well.
It's committee.
And joint zoning, planning and zoning committee from joint planning commission.
What do you suggest there, Kim?
And I can rewrite that.
The only thing that should be happening is taking the word joint out.
Okay.
Okay, so then that stays as the joint planning commission and without zoning.
So, yeah, so the Dakota County Planning
and
Zoning Commission. Right.
Because the title says Dakota County Planning Commission even. So was the name planning before?
There was no zoning in there at all, correct?
No. Do you want zoning in there? What's the budget?
I don't have it. I can have that self-service. I can go to Shriek to pull it up.
What? The statutes?
Yeah.
The bylaws or what?
Or the bylaws.
I have the bylaws right here.
Okay.
Yeah. Amended bylaws for the Joint Planning Commission. It's called the Joint Planning Commission.
Their whole idea was, since the town's got their own zoning, that they didn't need joint. Mm-hmm. The reason why they wanted to do committee is so it wasn't being confused with the Board of Commissioners. But now we're aware we can't do commission. But
Committee.
Or committee. Yeah. So
this is what they technically sent to us.
I guess it would depend on what a state statute would say. They constantly refer to it as a planning.
See, and they
commission.
Put the word zoning in there, and technically the word zoning is not even in there.
If it's not in the bylaws, then we can't edit now.
So,
and I didn't bring up bylaws.
So we cut out the zoning.
Cut out joint.
Joint.
Now, joint.
Does it go to planning and zoning commission?
No.
It just goes planning commission.
Zoning was not there. We're just removing the
Dakota County Planning Commission. Dakota County Planning Commission. That's how it reads
okay.
now.
That's how it reads now. I see that. I just want to make sure that the zoning doesn't get added in there. But, okay.
So, and that's the joint planning, Dakota County.
No joint.
Planning Commission.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, commission.
Okay.
And commission that's statutory.
So. Okay, so that's how the then, the it's worded is the Dakota County Planning Commission. Jolene Lieb?
No, I'm
oh, she's there. Okay. Okay. You were hiding.
So just take out the word
joint.
Joint.
And it's just planning commission.
Okay.
So not zoning. Okay, so that's how that reads. Then we will
any other neutral comments and then close the hearing.
Any other neutral comments on that proposed change? See none, then I will close that hearing on that item A and move on to item B, which is a public hearing for the purpose of giving citizens the opportunity to support, opposition, or make neutral comment regarding the revision of zoning ordinances to include section 600-3 conditional use provision for carbon dioxide pipeline regulations. So I will open the hearing and ask for any proponents on the proposed guidelines for the pipeline? Any proponents? Seeing none, any opposition to the proposed changes to that, to the regulations? Yes, sir.
Okay, I might be in the wrong category, but I just want to kind of make sure that regarding the pipeline, just kind of like my input is that we have to look at, I think, a moratorium, because we have to be thinking about this huge industry that's going to be visiting our county that research shows is not very effective. As I quoted before, according to the Wall Street Journal, February 7th, it only works 20% of the time. And then there's other things I've come across that, like the most recent one was like in Alberta carbon capture Alberta carbon capture plant doesn't capture anything. So there's a lot of a lot of hiccups, a lot of and I think if, quite frankly, the moratorium would allow us to really critically examine what is being proposed for our county and look at all the details instead of like a sales pitch from, you know, the CO2 people. We could just like critically look at it and look at some of the expenses. First of all, is I think with the safety of our citizens, the safety of our farmers and our landowners. This is a critical pipeline that is possibility of danger with it. So therefore, there's a lot of things that we need to be looking at. Okay, so who's going to pay for that? Okay, it explodes. A farmer drives over it with his combine. Okay, not knowing that or whatever, it somehow is obscured. This has happened before. You can look it up, and they got charged $5 million. So things like that. I mean, who's going to pay for? The first responders, the new uniforms, the new prevention things they have to have wearing to the fight the if they have the explosion of or anything to do with the carbon asphyxiation of the carbon dioxide. So I just think there's a moratorium needed so we can carefully examine what kind of like money and who's going to pay for it. So is it because like the question is, who's got the gold? Okay, who gets the gold? Well, it's not the farmers, it's not us, it'll be the pipeline people. So therefore, we got to really be critically examining it and making sure that we take careful steps going forward. That, you know, we make sure that all the ducks in a row, that we know that, you know, they can, that they will pay for anything. Like, okay, say the fire department in Jackson, okay, we need to have more safety. Okay, who's going to pay for that? Who's going to pay for, you know, so therefore there's money coming in. It's just not like a one check that you can give the farmer to use his land for, eminent domain. We have a lot of other categories and other things going on. So I just want to think that, so I might be off the subject a little bit, but I just want to kind of say that, you know, those are kind of encompassing a lot of things that have not been addressed,
right,
that need to be addressed.
So your the question is, Ron, that you have is for the what happens if a farmer breaks a line somehow,
mm-hmm, yeah,
on that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else of concern?
Just to say, who's going to pay for like the new uniform, the new provisions of the first responders are going to have, because it's an asphyxiation if it explodes. So we gotta have buy. So there's some money going forward that we have to make sure that that's on the table. That they're going to say, okay, yeah, we'll pay for that, or you know, so and have a cost. Mm-hmm. We have to have costs written down by the CO2 companies in writing. And then our zoning commission can say, okay, same way with the easement. with the zone between the pipeline and the community. All that kind of stuff takes time and money. And so you want to say, make sure that they're going to pay not only just write a check to the landowner, but they're also going to be kind of aware that they're going to have some other bits and pieces that will enter in further. Again, for the citizens, safety of the citizens and safety of the farmers and landowners.
Have you read these guidelines? I'm sure.
No, I just glanced over them.
Okay.
And they can fit in, but I still want to make sure that that's a critical part of it.
Okay. Any other areas of concern?
Abandonment. Okay. Yeah. Once the pipeline's gone, who's going to pay for the cleanup, et cetera, and so on?
Okay.
That might be in there as well, but I mean, because I did skim through it, but at the same time, I just want to make sure that as we go forward, so that's why I want a moratorium to make sure that all our ducks in a row, that we are going to be safe all the way up and down the line.
Okay.
So everybody is on board.
All right.
Very transparent.
Okay.
So.
All right. Thank you.
You betcha.
Thank you. Anyone else to speak in opposition to any of the proposed guidelines for the zoning, planning and zoning regulations for the pipeline? Anyone else in opposition? Can you come and give us your name and address, please, for the record? Thank you.
Yes, my name is Paul McGurk.
I own some farmland here
Paul
in
Dakota
County.
Paul
McGurk, McGurk.
Okay.
And we don't want the pipeline going through our farmland at all. Is that a problem? I mean, can I simply say stay off my land?
I mean, I've seen that done in other places. I mean, I'm not telling you, and I'm not an attorney, but I don't know what would prohibit you from saying that. I mean, I just don't.
So I shouldn't fear then that the pipeline is going to come onto our land.
Have you been contacted?
That they want to, yeah.
And any discussions?
And I say no.
Along those lines, just no. You just said no. Okay. Any other concerns about any regulations or anything
almost
we have?
Everything that was
we're talking
brought
about
up.
Today. Okay.
Safety and everything else.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Any other opponents to the proposed regulations for the pipeline? No? Okay. Any neutral comments on those, on the proposed regulations? Yes, hello.
Brandy knocked in with Navigator CO2, and I just wanted to take the time to thank the Planning Commission for, I think it's about 6 months of time working with us and developing this ordinance along with them, and a lot of the questions that the first gentleman spoke to, we spent a lot of time on those. They're either regulated from a federal nexus by PHMSA, or we discussed the indemnification clauses that we have with landowners individually for some of these things, but it was a great dialogue and a great back and forth with the commission.
Mm-hmm. Do you know, or can you just tell us, so the abandonment I know is a big question, and I know there are, and I have read this, and it says that they'll follow state, federal and state guidelines, et cetera. Can you just touch briefly on that?
Yeah, so abandonment is covered under 49 CFR Part 195 with PHMSA, and that's a regulated process through them on decommissioning of the asset. As far as actually removing, I think a lot of people have a misconception that that's the best thing to do. Most cases, that is going to damage property again to take that out. And on a lot of cases, we can't get the regulatory permits from an environmental standpoint to be able to do that. The purpose and need doesn't fit. If the asset is decommissioned and abandoned, that full rights go back to the landowner. full use 100% go back to the landowner.
You said if it's decommissioned, it goes back to the landowner.
If it's no longer in use, yeah.
Okay.
And right now, with the pipeline over their easements, they would retain about 90%, just can't put any permanent structures over that 50-foot easement, at least for Navigator CO2.
Okay. Any other questions from the board while we have, was it Brandy?
Brandy, yes.
Thank you.
Which last name?
I thought it was Brandy.
N-A-U-G-H-T-O-N.
The question about not wanting it on their land.
So that is a process that we'll negotiate between our right-of-way agents and the landowner. I had to kind of leave it there because I don't know his specific.
But you ran across that situation already?
Of course.
In different places.
Yeah.
And ultimately, when it comes down to it, that they get to not have it on their land, or
we accommodate where we can, and where we can't, we continue to negotiate.
But if there's no negotiation, do you just the domain come in the place?
There is a process in Nebraska for eminent domain because we're a common carrier, or we'd be designated a common carrier. So there is a process, but that's always last resort,
right.
And we never want to get to that. But that's why we'll continue those negotiations and try to work with everyone as best we can.
Have you got to that position?
Oh no, we're way far down the road from that. At least a year or a year and a half.
But in previous pipelines you put in, have you ran into that?
Oh, historically, yeah, and that's not just CO2. I mean, it's natural gas, that's crude oil. I mean, that's any pipeline asset typically runs across that once or twice. I'm being facetious.
Sure. Okay. Anything else? Anybody for Brandy while we have her here? Thank you for being here.
What about the safety? Can you get it?
Safety was mentioned.
Okay. So safety is fully regulated by PHMSA for CO2 pipelines.
Are you saying PHMSA?
No, Pipeline Hazardous Materials Safety Administration.
Okay.
So PHMSA.
PH. Okay. I can't hear very well.
Sorry.
Is CO2 toxic?
It is mildly toxic, yes. So before it would get to an asphyxiant level, you would experience kind of like being in a drunk state, disorientated. You would also have some shortness in breath that would give you some indications there.
No, that was a baby. Okay.
Thank you.
I do know just reading through the regulations and talking to somebody about them, one of the things or two things that they pointed out, you know, there's always the discussion about the depth of the pipeline in there. The federal regulations are, and this is I got from Joe O'Neill, the federal regulations are 3 foot deep, they have to be 3, and Dakota County, the proposed regulations are 5 foot deep. Also, the federal regulations are 50 feet from a residence, and our guidelines here say 330 feet. So they are obviously more than the federal regulations on those. Also on the, Ron, you had mentioned the moratorium on the proposed regulations. That would have to come from the, through the Planning and Zoning Commission to the board. We could just not arbitrarily do a moratorium on these here without that coming from the planning and zoning. So I wanted to share that with you because I know that's your position. And I don't think there's any proposed changes or regulations that you would deem, you know, where you would be in favor of those. But I wanted to let you know that. That's part of the discussion. You need to come up if you want to talk. Thank you.
Jean Broyhill from Dakota City. I had a question on the abandonment issue. If the pipelines are abandoned, do they drain them so that if there would be an issue after they've been abandoned, that we wouldn't have an issue with the gas emissions at that point?
Okay. Brandy, can I
yes.
ask you, can you answer that for us?
Yes. Typically, they would be blood dry. There would be no CO2 in there, and they'd be typically filled with nitrogen or some sort of a fillable foam, if you will, and they would be capped off and totally abandoned.
Okay.
There would be no product in it.
Okay. So there you go, Jean. That's the answer to that question. Any other neutral or comments? Yes, sir.
Hi, my name is Brent Neese. I'm with Summit, so maybe it's not here, another pipeline. So a little bit with the abandonment, too, why we kind of wrote in there, it's with the regulations of DOT 195. It's just to show you, like, the abandonment is being regulated by the government, showing you, hey, we can't just say, eh, we abandon it, it's done. They're saying you must clean it. You run cleaning pigs through the line to make sure that it's fully clean, disconnected at all the well heads, making sure that no product will continue to go through. And then, like she mentioned, you'll have some sort of pressure from nitrogen or some sort of gas going through from that perspective. So okay. Just to show you that there is a written plan that we are following and is audited by the federal government. And it's PHMSA DOT 195, if you want to be specific on what construction, maintenance, and operations will be following for the pipeline itself. I know the comment was made that only 20% was going to be captured, so we fully are going to capture 100% of all the CO2 at the ethanol plants. The only reason we wanted is if there were, for some reason, we were just doing a maintenance on the pipeline, the ethanol plants still have the option to still emit to the atmosphere. When it's operating pipeline, 100% capture is what we're going for. And I know he mentioned driving a combine over. Mm-hmm. So with 4-foot depth of cover, like you mentioned, we're going 4-foot throughout the county and throughout the project for Summit for that perspective. The last time I was talking to an engineer, because I was saying, what could you drive over it with it? He told me you could drive a train on top of it, just because when you have it in the ground that far, just the dispersion of the ground in general, you're not going to have that force on the pipeline. So you're not going to be concerned about normal farming activity or anything along those lines. I mean, the reason you put it at 4-foot depth of cover is, one, you can continue to farm as normal on top of it, deep ripping everything. You're not concerned because you're not going to be doing anything that low. So you've got that nice protection from there, as well as being able to drive everything on top of it. I know Rod Dillon, he's helping us with Summit on our emergency response, has reached out to Dakota County. It might have been with your guys' fire chief or something along those lines to talk through the plan. And I know they've even talked about, you know, if you guys need equipment or something along those lines, that Summit's, you know, willing to help from that perspective. I don't know what Rod has all said, but I know he's met with Dakota County. So I guess if we need more information, I'd gladly reach out to him and have him come into a meeting to discuss that further. But just from along those lines, we're, you know, working with the county, and then the actual you know, ordinance itself, it says that we will work with you again to have that response plan. So it's not kind of, hey, we're putting in this pipeline, good luck. It's, hey, let's have this discussions back and forth so everyone feels comfortable at it. You know, I'd like to thank the Planning and Zoning Board. They met with us 7 times. It wasn't something that we kind of put together quickly. It was dialogue, hearing the concerns, seeing where it was important for us to have those discussions already laid out. And I think we did a good job at addressing all the concerns ourselves.
So you mentioned the fire department. So would any of our fire departments anywhere need any special equipment? Let's just say there's an accident. I mean,
yep.
They're not required, or would they have something to address that? Or
yes.
Can you touch base on that?
Sure. So with CO2, I mean, with you look at like oil or gas or anything, you're going to have that soil that's basically contaminated from that perspective. If there'd be some sort of CO2 detection, so we've got, you know, our SCADA system, that'll be set up that's 24/7 monitoring the system, where if there would be a problem, we have block valves that we shut down instantly when a leak of some kind would be detected. And what the fire department's going to go through is basically evacuate that area as you wait for it to dissipate. So you don't necessarily need to go in there at all. It's just, hey, it's going to dissipate, give it time to do so, and evacuation of the area. And like you said, we've got that offset that your guys' board introduced, 330 feet, and I think that came from an emergency handbook itself saying, hey, if there's a CO2, just evacuate this area and kind of let it do its thing. So more details on that, I'm not sure, because the plan has not actually been created. We're continuously working on that, but that would essentially be it from my understanding.
Okay.
Can you spell your last name for me?
Yeah, Niese is N-I-E-S-E. No, that was the main thing that I want to say. I know in this county right now we have 67% acquisition, so we're continuing. And in the project itself, we are over 50% as we continue working. And like I said, this is with Summit.
Okay. Any other questions for him before we let him go?
What's your position with Summit?
I'm a project manager.
Thank you, sir.
For Nebraska. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other neutral testimony or pertinent information, I guess, for the proposed regulations?
I just want to mention that the yield, like they plow through the pipeline, et cetera, and so on, the yields will go down forever. I mean, the land will be, the yield, say the farmland was worth $5,000, after the pipeline goes through, it won't be worth that much.
Okay.
So it'll be down. So once you have the pipeline go through, you're going to take a loss, as well as the community.
Okay. Any comment on that, either one of you two folks?
Yeah, so
I don't want to put you on the spot.
So historically what we've seen is you're not seeing a drop in land value at all. So you're not going to say there's been a drop per acre if you would go sell that land that we've seen historically over time. So I wouldn't agree with that statement. And then from a statement of crop loss over it, so we're paying 3 years of crop damage with the understanding of, yes, we know we're going through your land. There's going to be obviously that first year when there's that disturbance. We're paying 100% that first year, and then it goes 80% and 60%. And kind of where we got that was our understanding was when some of the previous projects have gone through, a study was done by a university and said the worst that they saw across the board was a 14% loss over 10 years. And that's kind of where we got that 140%, because that'll protect you for 10 years at a 14% loss. But like I said, you're seeing it kick back right after 1 year. You're seeing it at 2 years, 3 years. We don't know exactly what that's going to be, but we've had that compensation there to protect the farmers to make sure they continue to get, you know, the money they got for their farm.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other neutral comment on that before we close this hearing? Okay. Hearing none, then I will close the hearing on the
40
on item B, 342, on the proposed changes to the zoning. So we'll move on to then item C under new business, and that would be to approve or not approve resolution 22C-024 to allow a planning and zoning name change, and that will be the Dakota County Planning Commission.
Okay, listen, on item C, I will approve the resolution 22C-024 to allow the planning and zoning name change to Dakota Planning Commission.
Dakota County.
Dakota County.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I'll second that. Okay. Dakota County.
Dakota County Planning Commission.
Whatever.
Okay.
Second.
Yeah. Motion by Scott, seconded by Janet to approve that change.
Dakota County Planning Commission.
Right.
Dakota County Planning Commission.
Call the roll, please, Joan.
Troy.
Yes.
Robert.
Yes.
Scott.
Good. Yes.
Janet.
Good. Yes.
Okay. And so motion carried on those, on that change. Then moving on to item D is to approve or not approve resolution 22C-025, adding a conditional use for carbon dioxide pipeline regulations. So we've heard the proposed regulations from the Planning and Zoning Commission. Is there a motion?
I will. I tell you what I do on 22C-025. I will make a motion to approve adding a conditional use for the carbon dioxide pipeline regulation.
We need to approve with the name of the Planning and Zoning Committee, because that's already in these, to the Dakota County Planning Commission.
Okay, so
you're going to approve the regulations, you need to prove it with that name change in these regulations.
Okay, thanks, Jolene.
Okay, yeah, I think you told us that, too, and I forgot about that because I was all confused about all these commissions and planning and committees and Dakota this and Dakota that. So with that said, approval, I will make an approval with Resolution 25C-025, adding the conditional use for the carbon dioxide pipeline regulations through Dakota County Planning Commission. Is that correct?
That's correct.
That's my motion.
I can second that.
All right. Thank you. Motion by Scott, seconded by Janet on the proposed conditional use and including the name. Call the roll, please, Joan.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
At the end of the day, I hope it all works out. I think there's a lot of time, a lot of investment involved in this, and I know there's, I know a lot of people, 67%, you know, have gone, you know, abroad and with this, so hopefully it's successful and it works out for everyone.
These are significantly more stringent, I think, than originally.
Okay. Then moving on to item E is to approve Resolution 22-026 to certify Highway Superintendent for calendar year 2022.
It's a yearly formality, correct?
Right. That's right. That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is what I'll do. Approve the Resolution 22C-026 to certify the Highway Superintendent for the year calendar year of 2022. Do I need to put like Dakota County Planning or Commission or anything on that, or is that just, okay? All right. I just want to make sure.
Do we need to include her name in with that?
I don't
as well.
I wouldn't think so. Do we?
No. Okay. All right. Motion by Scott, seconded by Troy, to approve resolution to certify Highway Superintendent for calendar year 2022. Call the roll, please, Joan.
Scott.
Yes, ma'am.
Janet.
Yes.
Troy.
Yes.
Robert.
Yes. Thank you. Then item F is approved resolution 22C-027 to allow chair to sign and approve a 5-year master agreement effective January 1, 2023 regarding land survey corner preservation between Dakota County and the Nebraska Department of Transportation.
So moved on 22C-027 for the chair to sign.
Okay, motion by Scott, seconded by Troy to approve. Call the roll, please, Joan.
Janet?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Thank you. Moving on to item 4 under miscellaneous and old business, Jolene Goebbels is here with her road report. Jolene?
We had 108.5 hours of maintaining, 27 hours on a culvert extension on 120th, 165.5 hours doing shoulder work on Old Highway 20 after they did the overlays, 24 hours hauling gravel. We hauled 540.34 tons, 1.5-inch crushed concrete, and 419.23 tons of crushed concrete fines. Those concrete fines are what they put along 20. 4 hours for signs repair. We had requests for grading on Blyberg Road, 142nd Street. We had requests for gravel on Blyberg Road, Oakdale Road, and P Avenue.
The only question I have for Jolene is that the concrete fines they did west of Elgin, is that
right? Yeah.
Are they planning on going to complete?
They're planning on doing more
next spring.
Yeah.
Okay.
With the weather,
I just seen how they dissed it up and et cetera, and it probably would all come back and be fine, but I just didn't know if their plan was to do the fines all the way.
Yeah, the plan is to continue with that project, and then Tuesday at 1 o'clock next week on the 22nd, we'll be opening bids for the Moody Road project.
Okay. Jolene, on here, the road concerns and gravel, these have been addressed, right?
Correct.
Okay. Uh-huh. Thank you. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Bob. All right. Item B is monthly jail report.
I would be honored.
Scott, go ahead.
Okay.
Take it away.
From November 14th here, it looks like the county inmates is 101, federal inmates is 30. The total house of juveniles, 1.6, is 118. 2022 calendar, average inmate per day, 90 county, 21 federal, 0.29 juveniles, so a total of in-house of 109. So the fiscal year, the average inmate per day of 2021 to 2022 was county 102, federal was 17, the juveniles 0.49, so a total in-house of 116. Federal income from 2022 to 2023, obviously we know it was July, correct? July 1st, it looks like October Marshals was 3,800, October ICE 80, and then the October Federal 4,280, and then the OMMS was 400. So that brings the total of the Federal Marshals was 168,534.36. ICE was $160. The OMMS Federal / DSDMS was $1,120. And then the Federals was total was 169,814.36. So if you look at the cost, I guess 2022 Federal calendar Federal inmates was $510,870.04. So as of October, county contracts 2022 to 2023, the federal county contracts was $1,485. August phone commissary commission was $10,416.27. And if you look at the cost per inmate in 2022, as January was $69 and some change, February was $81 and some change, March was $66 and some change, April $66 and some change, May $62 and change, June was $77 and some change, July was $70 and some change, August $56 dropped down, and September was $62 and some change, and October stayed the same at $62 and some change. So the jail has spent $243,058.77 for the month of October. The jail is at 31% total estimated yearly budget, or 8% under budget for the fiscal year. The jail was at 32%, or the total estimated yearly budget in October of 2021. The jail spent $8,491.78 less than allotted for October, which was 3.5% under budget for the month. And at the bottom, you can see all the bookings where they came from. So that's it.
Thanks, Scott. The one thing that those of you that don't have this, the federal inmates for October was 30, which is good to hear that we still have that number is actually higher than some of the other ones we've seen.
Yep.
Recently. So that still continues to be a good trend.
Revenue. Or,
yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you, Scott. Then item C, Teresa Grove, I believe, is here with her quarterly health department report.
I am. Our COVID vaccines are still every Wednesday from 9:30 to 4. Those appointments have been stayed really steady, which is
really
okay with that.
Really? How's that working out? Everything good?
Yeah, so far. We have been doing, we went to Elder and Tito on October 26th and did a flu COVID vaccine clinic, and we gave over 100 shots over there, so that was pretty good. We continue to do clinics every other Thursday, night clinics every other Thursday. We've been given, we had 6 clinics the last quarter and gave 54 kid shots in that time period. Last quarter we did 251 kids, vaccinated 251 kids for the quarter.
Are you talking COVID shots yet?
Do we?
No, no. The two, what did you say, the 243 is what? I'm sorry?
We did 251 vaccines for kids. Okay. It was all vaccines, not just COVID.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. We're still waiting for you to come get yours. That's a different story.
Wednesday's coming up.
All grants and quarterly reports.
She's not coming up.
All of our grants and quarterly reports and have been, and all the renewals have been done. We are not applying for any more grants at this time. We have too many. So we're busy with them. We're trying to hire a new front desk person. Yvette is going to become our new ERC, and Jen is moving in to be do grants. We are continuing to see our testing for COVID is going down, but our cases are going up, so people aren't getting tested anymore. They're just
dealing with it.
Yeah, basically. It's like having the flu anymore.
Yeah.
Jessica continues to work on our MHI blood pressure program. She's going to be moving into Jana's old office once Jana is gone. She needs a place to meet with her clients. We're continuing to see do outreach for the public. Tomorrow, we're going to be at the South Sioux City Library to do a men's health fair. So if anybody wants to come over.
What does that consist of?
We're going to be passing out pamphlets about like prostate cancer. And we're going to be doing BMIs. We're going to do blood pressures. We're going to get flu shots from 6 to 8.
From what?
6 to 8.
Okay.
Tomorrow night.
And that's open to anyone in
anybody.
The county?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, males.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Thank you, Teresa.
Okay,
no.
Good stuff.
Okay.
Labs.
Okay. Then moving on to commissioner committee reports. Scott, anything for the...
I met with the health department last week, and things are going very well. As you can tell from Teresa, you know, she just gave her a report, and they're very, very successful what they're doing. They got a lot of grant monies that they need to start trying to figure out. You know, there's a time limit, you know, on those, mm-hmm. and it's pretty crazy. They're sitting very well on cash, so I think they got some plans on some things. I don't know exactly what their plans to do with some of the monies, but they're doing well over there right now, so things are good. They got all their people in the right places, and seems to be going decent. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
Probably is, but I can't remember right now.
All right. Thank you. Janet?
I listened to the meeting for Greater Sioux Lake Community Connections this last week, and Mr. Pearson, who from Simcoe, that came and visited with us about the transportation, indicated that they're working with some of the local employers to do van pools for getting people back and forth to work. And also they're working with the Sioux City or South Sioux City Community Schools for some transportation issues. So it sounds like they're getting some stuff rolling. You know, they primarily like to serve elderly and disabled people with those services, but that's coming along. I hope we get a report by the end of the year about what the first 6 months. He didn't have exact numbers to give me,
no.
But he did say they're working on some projects, so that was good.
Okay.
Did SEPCO, correct me if I'm wrong, did they have something that they had planned for other transportation needs for other people besides the elderly?
The employers are working with the local employers. They have weird, unusual shifts that don't fit with the Sioux City public transportation.
Yep, yep, yep.
So they're trying to supplement what the buses can do.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a challenge to get the right. But they're working on it. Working on it.
Well, they do also have that, you can call and get a ride.
Uber?
Right.
No.
It's a bus, but
yeah, similar,
it's not Uber.
Siouxland Community CRTS.
And that is free.
Yep.
For the riders, so that's.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's what you're talking about, but that's.
I think it probably was.
That's,
yeah.
That's what
we approved that in July.
Yeah, July 1st.
This past July, so for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah. Anything else, Janet?
Nope. That's the main thing.
Troy.
Nothing.
No. I don't have anything. Joan, any mail or emergency business?
We had another notice of hearing from the city of Sauce City. The last hearing for this TIF area, this HCI at 39th and G, was with the zoning, and now that it's at City Hall.
That's today, that correct?
That will be held, yes, at 5 o'clock today.
Okay.
In the council chambers. And I have had no applicants on my weed superintendent ad. I reached out to Zell, asking them what else we can do.
Okay, well, I guess I'll keep
or
doing
else we
the
can
weed.
Post it.
Does somebody need to go to the thing at 5 at the South Sioux City?
Not necessarily, no. Okay. I mean, you're welcome to go.
I'm not a South Sioux City resident, but I was just curious if they need a representation. Is that why they?
No, I think they just
informational.
It's, it's informational. That's it, Joan. Okay. With that, we are adjourned. 4 o'clock.
You know, I don't think it's a good or bad idea.